Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And get it into the end zone for the touchdown. All eyes to McCaffrey. Mills throws, pass caught, touchdown, Miller. First and goal, handoff here for the touchdown to Tommy Tremble. With a good defense, pretty good combination. Darnold takes it and is in for the touchdown.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance. All
right, well, welcome in. What a night last night. Bad. Another. Well, there's, how many times have we done this, that there is a, that Houston is spotlighted nationally? We had a chance to move closer in the, you know, get closer in the race. The White Sox pick up a game on the Astros last night because they can't beat a guy named Cobb. He looked awesome against the Astros. And then the Houston Texans in the spotlight once again and come up short. Although there were a lot of positives to come out of that game, a lot of positives. But the overriding thing is that the Texans are just not worthy, NFL worthy, and they are they lose once again. 24-9 was the final.
That one went according, my exactly. Score was 23-10. That one went, although the only difference there is that even a teaser could have won with my score, but teasers didn't win if you had Texans plus 14. But it was this one went exactly according to Hoyle. The Texans couldn't really run the ball effectively. They didn't. There were some flashes of Davis Mills, but overall they never really threatened. The defense had some flashes, but they weren't able to hold up against a quality wide receiver like DJ Moore. It almost went exactly the way we thought it would go. Almost exactly. And I think that's because the Texans are, I think they're quite predictable, not necessarily in the way that play calling's going in, although Lovie Smith does do what Lovie Smith does from that standpoint. But I think the performance is predictable now. I think you know what you're going to get. Some feisty defense, some flashes of pass rush. Generally speaking, you're not going to be consistently stout in the secondary. And offensively, you are going to have, without Tyrod Taylor, you are going to have trouble moving the ball against above average defenses.
Yeah.
It's certainly on the ground.
So here's the deal is you got one really good player, and that's Brandon Cooks, and he's showing up. And you know what? In the NFL, like they've got talented players over there. Hassan Reddick, they've got Christian McCaffrey, they've got DJ Moore. You know, they've got some really good players and more. They've got more guys than that. And they're a better team. I mean, they've been with Matt Rhule now. They've got a couple of really good coordinators.
Look at how they were built. So yeah. Taylor Moten, they drafted him, they paid him the right tackle. and he was not a first round pick either. Christian McCaffrey, drafted. Brian Burns, pass rusher, drafted. J.C. Horn, who got hurt yesterday, was drafted. But you mentioned, who's another player? You just mentioned another
DJ
player.
DJ Moore.
Yeah, DJ Moore, drafted. Now, Hassan Reddick played for Matt Rhule at Temple. I remember talking to Matt Rhule about Hassan Reddick before he was drafted. And that's one of those guys that when he became a free agent, I guarantee you.
Yeah, Matt Rhule said, I got to get him.
Even before, yeah. Like, hey, Hassan, we're coming after you.
Right.
I got to go get my guy because I know who my guy is. And he was heckling too. But if you look at their team, they're built through smart free agency, but they're built through the draft. And So the question becomes, John, and speaking of Hassan Reddick yesterday, Hassan Reddick talked about Davis Mills, as a matter of fact. And I thought this was very interesting because I think yesterday's game was about Davis Mills. It was less about the outcome. It was more about David. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It was
more
about Davis Mills. And we want to hear from you. But here's what Hassan Reddick, who is the edge pass rusher, came from Arizona. He's first-round pick in Arizona. He's free agent over now with Carolina. And he's second in the league in sacks since last year, only to T.J. Watt. Here's what he had to say about Davis Mills.
Very tough, man. He's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. He escaped my grip, you know, a couple times today. It was shocking to see, even with the one hit, just the way he got back up, man. The guy, he's tough. He's mentally and physically tough. He got right back up off the ground and continued to play. So they and Davis Mills, they definitely have a tough player.
That's
high praise.
That's high praise because the first thing that players rally around is a tough guy quarterback. That's how Burrow won over his LSU team.
He absolutely did.
Tough guys win over teammates. And Davis Mills, while he has had some injury issues in the past, a toughness has not been something that has been – he'll stand in and deliver against pressure. But Hassan Reddick saying that is a big deal.
So we kind of made fun of Davis Mills for Getz. You know, his best qualities – going into the game, he can take a hit.
Why do we
he's
say
tall.
That? Oh,
he's Titus, tall.
Who's that? Titus Howard had already said that, right?
Titus Howard said that. Yeah, he's tall and he can take a hit. So and you know what though, it's admirable. Dude took that one on the chin. His helmet flying off.
It was helmet to helmet, probably. They could have got it.
It could that easily could have been roughing the quarterback.
He got crunched
and we've
now.
Seen much less. We've seen guys get much less than that and get the penalty for much less than that. It came up right under his chin, hit him with his helmet, and that should have been a penalty. That should have been a penalty. Mm-hmm. Now, the Texans should have been called for a penalty on a jump and the guard pulled earlier in the game. That happened. The referees were okay at best. There were some questionable calls, one by David Culley, and we'll obviously get into that. But the overriding thing that I take away from this game is that Davis Mills can play some.
I don't know what to think about it. Well, this is what I think. You got, let's say it's five columns. The top column is big plus, meaning you know you got something pretty special, big plus. The next column would be plus, then the next column would be neutral. Then small minus, and then big minus. I still have him in the neutral, in the mid. That's okay.
I said play some.
Right. I'm just telling you how, tier three.
Right.
Well, not even tier three quarterbacks. I have him where I still don't know, but I definitely couldn't put it in the minus column.
No.
I definitely couldn't do that. And I thought Tim Kelly did him a disservice by not allowing him to play with a little more tempo, play a little faster, which keeps the defenses on the back foot instead of the front foot, play a little bit faster from a tempo standpoint, and maybe a little bit more spread, like we saw when they went hurry up and spread it out before the half, and he looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they would have done that more, they would have allowed him to be reactive. Because I went back and read my scouting report, and one of the things I pointed out is that he's a very rhythmic passer and very good in play action, very comfortable in play action, and throws with the anticipation. And in watching the game, I thought when they let him get into a rhythm by playing fast, he looked pretty good. Like, his ball delivery is good. His placement is pretty good.
Well,
it's not bad.
And Aikman pointed it out, too, for a couple of things. Aikman pointed out. And Troy Aikman is smarter than any of you listen. You can you can do all of that and all of that stuff. Troy Aikman is a little bit smarter about quarterback play than any of us, anybody. He said a couple of things. He said when the kid's had time, he's been accurate. He throws a very nice ball, and he's got a strong arm. The second thing is when they were playing up-tempo football, he looked really good.
Yeah.
He got into it,
but he's a rhythmic passer. He gets in a rhythm. So your job as a play caller is to somehow get him into a rhythm while limiting his exposure. And I get what Tim Kelly was doing. I get it. And you were hoping that you saw how much play action they did in the second half. I think they were hoping they'd run it better in the first half.
They didn't
which
run
would
it
set
at
up
all.
Play action.
They didn't run it at all.
But I can tell you that the Davis Mills, when he gets in, so I call it everyday accuracy from point A to point B, just a standard throw, 14 yards away, 7 yards away, just A to B, throwing to an open receiver. he has good everyday accuracy. Yeah. And that's what Troy is talking about is when he has time to throw and just deliver a pass, there are a lot of quarterbacks who are good Pro Bowl quarterbacks who you just don't know if that's where they're going to, you know, where the ball placement's going to be. Are they going to make you work for it? You may still catch it. But Davis Mills looks like a guy who's not going to make you work for it a lot. And Mickey Maynard, the matchmaker for the UFC, you know, he lives here in Houston. And he texts me all the time about Deshaun Watson. He's a season ticket holder. And he's like, first of all, he goes, any Deshaun news? Like, no, they'll trade him. They got to wait for him to get to where they are. He goes, I couldn't sell my season tickets for even for face value. I said, face value? I said, face value, Mick. I said, he goes, and I even had the nice ones in the, you know, in the club level. I'm like, I hope you understand that this is a tax write-off this year. You need to be giving them to any clients you could give them to fighters and write it off as a tax write-off, because I'm telling you now, did you see that crowd?
Yeah.
Did you go? Were you in the suite?
We ended up not going. My wife didn't feel well. So
did you see the pictures from when the game was going on?
The game start. It got fuller than that. It got fuller than that. There was one guy on Twitter said, dude, slow down. 6'10 was a mess. I didn't get to my seats till the second quarter. It was a mess getting in there.
Really?
And this is on them, too, that they don't have cops out forever.
Well, this has been 20 years of that stuff.
And the cops they do have out there, directed traffic, suck.
Okay,
and they don't do anything.
I got the boot on. But let me ask you guys, if you were at the game, second quarter, right in the heart of the game, tell us what you thought. Because from TV, you couldn't really see it. Now, Uncle Freddie told me it was dead inside. We saw the pictures at game. At game start, there was probably less than maybe 28,000?
Maybe. It was awful.
That picture where you see players on the field and the referee, it's like, holy
now,
crap.
Now, we've seen this before, though, on and I believe it was a Thursday or a Monday night or whatever.
No, it was a Colts game where it was dead like
game.
That. I was there.
Yeah, I was there,
I was
too.
Like, man.
This is awful.
It's a terrible atmosphere. And they were winning. They were in the middle of like a 10-game win streak.
Yes.
And I was like, holy crap. This place is like a morgue.
And I don't know what it is about these night games. They just don't give a rat's ass.
But they used to get hyped up.
But maybe the Ravens game that they lost at the end or in overtime and it was late in the game.
Yeah, I remember.
And
the pick six,
Bob
right?
Bob McNair was told by the others, keep on plugging.
It was
you're
the pick,
on the
it
right
was Matt
track.
It was a Matt Schaub pick six in overtime.
Yes, yes. Anyway, that was a great electric night crowd. And then the Packers game was electric too, but because of the Packers fans there.
Yeah.
when Aaron Rodgers threw six touchdown passes against them. Yeah, so it is awful. It is awful. And we'll talk about that and a lot more. We got David Culley's decision. I know that it's getting a lot of heat. We'll talk about it on
when it gets
time to
midfield. David Culley is fair. David Culley likes to spin the wheel at
no,
well, actually he's
he likes
super,
to spin the ball off the punter's foot.
Yeah.
let's talk right now though about I went and had lunch yesterday with Patrick Chastain and it just awesome. I'm telling you. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck, there's one place to go, and you go see the good people. It starts at the top, and we know that in sports, it starts at the top. It starts with the leadership. They set the tone of the culture. They set the tone of how the organization is going to be run. And it's the same in business. It's the same in the car business. And this business is that you are going to get a deal. Now, you don't know what's going on out there right now. It is unbelievable. You decide at other dealerships, this is actually happening. They have what they're calling, what they're doing is they're saying a market adjustment on the price. And they're charging like $5,000, $10,000, and $15,000 more for these vehicles. And Patrick's like, this is ridiculous what's going on out there. He said, tell people to come here and get their car here, and they're going to get it at the price that they want with no add-ons and promise no market adjustment, all at Chastain Ford. You're looking for that Ford car or truck? Get it at Chastain Ford. Right now, you get to ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, they're in limbo with Deshaun Watson. Both sides, Deshaun Watson and the team, have agreed that he will not play for the Texans this season.
That's Joe Buck last night, courtesy of the NFL Network.
That does it, right? Now we can. That's officially for the Deshaun conspiracy people. It's
and will they trade him? And
well, but he's not playing for the.
He's not playing for the Texans.
If a team's willing to pay the freight for what the asking price is, the Texans have put a price on the house, and they want asking. They want the asking price.
Yeah,
they're not going to. You're not going to see. Oh, this price has dropped by $25,000. Right now, they want asking price. And if you pay asking price all the way through the season, you can have them. If not, you're not having them during the season.
That's right. You'll get them next season at asking price because that's what they're going to sell them at. Mm-hmm. Asking price, no less. So just so you know.
And the market is going to expand after the season's over. And that's why it's probably a smart move to do it then.
For you, I know all of you are golf fans. The Ryder Cup is underway. The first match, number one, is Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth against John Rahm and Sergio Garcia. So it's Spain against the U.S. in the first match. And
you didn't comment on me on our Glory Boys text string. What? Raheel started some Ryder Cup talk.
Yeah.
And me and Dell.
Because it's just stupid.
Me and Dell and Raheel were involved in a lot of Ryder Cup, serious Ryder Cup talk.
Yeah, it's just stupid, so I can't.
No, it wasn't. You didn't jump in.
I'm not jumping in.
Why not?
I found stupidity.
Okay. I thought you liked the Ryder Cup.
No. What I liked more was the Frisbee talk.
He said eight of the... Yeah. See, y'all have never seen Philo Braithwaite. There's a black Frisbee golfer.
There's no black
Philo Braithwaite is like one of the best in the world.
No.
And he sounds just like...
We're waiting for the Jackie Robinson.
Pull up Philo P-H-I-L-O Braithwaite. Get a video. And when you hear him, you're like, why is Kevin someone giving people lessons on disc golf throwing? All right. So what we got to do here... is we're going to take it, and you want to be hyzer, Anheuser, okay? And we're going to throw it all the way down. We're going to get it all the way down, fairway. Like, why is this guy sound exactly like Kevin Sumlin? You have it here. Listen, tell me if this sounds like Kevin Sumlin.
You can't even see the basket. You can't progress. You're going to pitch out backwards, pitch out, and the best you can do is salvage five. So the play has always been to hang that thing out there with something really understable, and if you make your mistake, you make it on the right side.
Well, maybe it's just kind of the country twang.
It ain't.
Now, this guy is black. He's got braids in a video.
No,
there's
no one.
But he's Philo, and his name is Philo. But he's got a little bit of a country.
Braithwaite. Philo Braithwaite.
That's his name. He's really good.
No one would have guessed that that's kind of a black country. Guy, first of all. Okay.
Well.
Okay.
I know. You got to see the video.
Braithwaite?
Philo Braithwaite, and if you hear the twang, it does sound countryish, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
And he's from California, I think.
All right, so.
There you go. There is a black guy in disc
There's
golf.
Our Frisbee golf talk, our black Frisbee. He's the Jackie Robinson of Frisbee golf. Okay, so.
By the way, who's winning right now?
Nobody. It's all square. They both parred the first hole. The U.S. had a wonderful opportunity to birdie the first hole, and Justin Thomas hit a crappiest putt you ever saw in your life. Anyway, so it's alternate shot in the first, so that's a lot of fun. So we'll keep you updated throughout the morning. I know Art is thrilled because he can't stand it when we're not talking about golf here. So here's the deal. So the Texans move the ball down the field to start the second half, right? They get the ball back. They're down 7-6. They get the ball. They have a really nice drive where they get down to the 39-yard line. So they get down to the 39-yard line, and it's 3rd and 4. It's 4th and 4. Davis Mills misses an incomplete pass to Anthony Miller, who came back and looked like and that's when David Culley put his hands on his head, and it looked like he was going to come back and make the catch, and he couldn't hold on to it. So now it's 4th and 4. You're down
from the 39.
From the 39
Carolina.
Carolina Panthers 39-yard line. What were you thinking?
I was thinking go for it, because I know all the analytics are once you get inside the 40, you have to go for it. But you know, and now this is the thing about analytics. Is I'm sitting there, and Troy Aikman even said it. You know, analytics tell you that you go for it. Well, what about this? Does this tell you anything?
I know analytics has those things out there.
Okay,
does that sound like a guy who is going to follow analytics? Yes or no?
He was reading from the analytics chart. Right. He forgot to flip it over. The analytics are on one side, analytics are on the other.
Does it sound like a guy who is going to follow those charts? Yes or no?
I know Analytics has those things out there.
So I was okay with the decision to punt. It's a 7-6 game. If you try the field goal, I thought field goal possibility. Sly has been okay. He missed the extra point. He missed the field goal. He missed an extra point last game, too.
Well, if you're going against Cleveland, you go for it because they have more firepower offensively. Going against Carolina. Well, the game had already been – you know the flow of the game. 7-6, okay. This is going to be a game where if Sam Darnold, who, by the way, is a mistake-prone quarterback at times – he makes a mistake. You could. I was okay with the punt too, because of how the game was going.
Right. The thing that you could have done is try to draw him, which happens, and then but teams don't fall.
Well,
for
they
it.
Took a 5-yard penalty, and they didn't even try. Yeah, but from there, it's a reasonable attempt that you could have waited a long time on the clock and at 10 seconds rushed up and started sending motion and get hard count. If you're going to take the 5-yard penalty anyway,
if that's 4th-and-1, then the team's going to fall for it. 4th-and-4, you're not falling for the punting team going for 4 yards.
No, not punting team. You bring the quarterback.
Oh yeah.
4th-and-4 is reasonable to assume they would go for it from the 39.
That's
reasonable.
That's not
unreasonable. And you have two of the guys who are fastest off the ball in the league, Hassan Reddick and Brian Burns. So why wouldn't you try to draw one of those two guys? And didn't they have 4 offsides penalties anyway? They had 4 offsides penalties yesterday.
Well, at least one of them was lined up offsides.
Right.
Two of them.
Just the way he puts his hand down, he was getting
well in
far
his
forward.
Head. Yeah, he was in a neutral zone and that thing. So that was that. That's a little bit different. But maybe he would have crouched when he's trying to get to the quarterback on 4th down. Maybe, but I was okay because if you try a field goal from 46 or 47 yards, he misses. They get the ball at the 46 or 47 yard line. And in a field position game, you don't want that. You don't want that.
Especially when you're going to be limited on how many times you can score. You want to make their job hard. I had no problem with that. But like you said, if your plan is to take a 5-yard penalty anyway, then go out there and give them a pump fake.
Right.
Give them a pump fake and let them. And then take the 5-yard penalty.
I think these decisions are, I think that they're a product of a guy who's a head coach for the first time.
And never been a coordinator.
Yeah, and
had
never,
he been a play caller, that's in his bag.
Right.
None of this is in his bag.
Right.
He's never done it before.
No, so making these snap decisions like last week, punting the ball after refusing the penalty.
After taking the penalty.
After refusing
the penalty. Oh, no, refusing, yeah. So
yeah, was, yeah. And then punting. And now this, these are on his resume, but it's a learning thing. Maybe he's growing with the team, too. Maybe we can look at it that way, and maybe they'll think, he's learning, too, so it's okay. We're all in this together, and he'll get better at it.
It's
the NFL. You shouldn't think like that. But in this organization right now, everybody's growing together.
It's understandable.
Yep.
Let's get Rolando before we end up getting to Greg Cosell's coming up in just a second. What's up, Rolando?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
All right. Hey, I was listening to y'all just a little while ago. Y'all were saying that we're going to get the asking price for Deshaun.
Eventually.
I don't think so. I think Deshaun is – I think his mind is set on Miami. And, he got that no trade clause. I think it's ultimately up to him. So the asking price, I don't know about that.
If he wants to play football, if he wants to play football, he's going to have to open it up.
Yeah.
And I think Denver is in play for him too. I think there are more teams than just Miami.
Yeah.
And if you're the Texans, you keep playing chicken.
And by the way, Deshaun does have to listen. Do you want to play or do you want to sit again? That meant to, he's learned a lesson this year, Rolando, that he hates this. You're right. He's in his prime right now, and he's sitting and watching everybody else play, enjoy, have fun. Now, he'll collect a paycheck.
Well, if you think he doesn't really care about football, then the goal should be to keep collecting paychecks and not ever playing, I guess.
I think
he loves playing football.
All right, Greg Cosell is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Hoops, Sporting Goals, and Equipment. That's right. Hoops is around the corner. But training camp is here for the NBA. Is that unbelievable? But your kids... Well, I don't know if they're playing football right now. I don't know what their baseball, I don't know what their acumen is. One thing they can do in their backyard by themselves or, bring over friends or whatever, and you just need a couple. One thing, the only thing you need is a basket, and you need a basketball, and that's it. and the kids can actually play. Baseball, you got to get all these kids together. Football, you got to get all the – it's got to be organized and all this stuff. Where they can exercise, where they can have fun, in the backyard where you know where they are, and you will always know where your kids are, and the neighborhood will be there because you got the best goal in the market. You know why? Because your goal will raise and lower, and those kids in the neighborhood can all come over and they can dunk. So your kids are going to be in your driveway, and it's going to be awesome, and your house is going to be the place to be because you got the best goal, and it comes from one place. And that's ProDunkHoops.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here. ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Allstate Siding and Windows.com. That's the website, the web address that you can use to get your hands on the best siding and window rates and product around. I mean, look, you can buy cheaper windows, cheaper siding. You are 100% going to get what you pay for. And I've got a friend who found out the hard way on the double pane windows does not mean they're double strength. And if you look at your windows and you see foggy, you know, some fog in there because it got chipped a little bit by a rock or whatever and it's all fogged up, you did not get a good window. You want windows that are retrofit to the way that the house has moved over the years. You get them custom measured, custom cut, and ready to install. And my friends over at Allstate, 50-plus years in the business, in their own family. It stayed in the family. They're going to build you great windows that are very strong, highly energy efficient. They keep the AC or the heat in. They keep the dust out. They reduce the noise. And, yes, siding makes your house look so much better than that dilapidated wood. 25% off your window installation. You've got $2,000 off of a full siding installation done. Make sure that you check out my friends at AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
Time to talk some NFL with NFL Film Zone Greg Cosell on the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
As the man told you, Greg Cosell, senior producer for NFL Films, NFL analyst, joining us as he does every week for a nice half hour of NFL talk on an NFL Friday. Greg Cosell, welcome to the show. How are you?
John, what's happening, my man?
How are you doing, man? Great to have you back here. Did you get to watch the Texans last night?
I watched the first half, and then, you know, because I'm one of those guys, I get in the office like at 5:15, you know, those games are past my bedtime, John.
I know that, me too. But I was.
Although I must admit that I had studied Davis Mills, obviously. I think I watched all 11 of his starts in college, and I didn't think he was quite ready to be an NFL starter, and I thought for the most part he acquitted himself well. I thought that he played with some, you know, again, this is first half. I thought he played with some poise. I thought that he hung in there. I thought there were a couple of times it was clear that he knew where secondary receivers were from the pocket, because he's essentially a pocket quarterback. He's not immobile, but if he's to succeed in this league, it will have to be because he masters the pocket.
What did you think about the fact? I think it's a huge advantage that he played for David Shaw at Stanford, because it really gets him more alerted to pass protections, getting himself protected, the play action game. I think it makes him a little more NFL ready.
Without question, I think the play action game is critical. He's turned his back to the defense, which that's a learned trait, Lance, as you well know. You know, people just assume, oh, you know, if you can just turn your back to the defense. If you've never really done that, that's a little frightening, because when you turn around, the defense, amazingly enough, is not in the same position they were before you turned your head. And you've got to figure that stuff out. So I think that, you know, the entire Stanford offense, just the concepts, as you know, Lance, of that offense are very NFL-based.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. Hey, you know, you didn't see the second half, but and Aikman even said it, too, is one of the things that was admirable about Greg was the rush was on all night long, and he kept his eyes downfield.
And that's critical. Yeah. You know, look, I remember the kid when he came out of high school. I don't study that stuff, but he was the number one quarterback coming out of high school as far as pocket quarterbacks. Obviously, he's not a dual threat guy, but he was a big, big-time recruit. Everybody wanted him. He committed to Stanford early, so the bigger schools backed off. But if he had not committed early, he would have been in the mix in the SEC, all the big schools.
Yeah. Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What are we to make of the Panthers' defense so far, Greg? They faced two rookies making their first starts, and Jameis Winston so far. Is it that good, or what's going on in Carolina?
Well, it's always difficult to say, you know, after three games, you know, what a defense is for the whole season. All we have right now, we can talk about how they play and what the talent level is. That's what we can talk about right now. And the thing that they have, which every defense wants, is they have two players that can rush the quarterback from the edge. And if you start there in this league, that's a really good place to start. And I think that Burns was a guy, and Lance, you can speak to this. I loved him coming out of Florida State.
But he was so skinny, though. He was so tiny. He was such a skinny, skinny guy. And you know what's crazy, Greg, is I talked to his agent. And you know how agents are, Greg. They're gonna tell you what you want to hear. But his agent said, no, he eats poorly, and he doesn't hydrate. He doesn't drink water. He's constantly in a state of dehydration. And I was like, okay, he's 220-some-odd pounds in-game. That's not big enough. But you know what? He has held his weight on.
And he's a bender. He's so flexible. He can change direction. He's got that unique ability. That's what you want from an edge pass rusher. You know, he's not a guy that just runs by the quarterback. He can redirect and he can bend. And I think what stands out with their D as well, and this is coaching to me, is they are very multiple with their coverages. You know, last year they were high percentage cover three. They played a ton of zone, literally on every snap, it seemed. And this year, through three games, you know, it's Phil Snow's second year, and they're much more multiple with their coverage scheme. So he obviously feels that he wants to put in more of what he wants to do and that the players can handle it. Because obviously all coaches can, you know, go on the iPad or on the board or in meetings and they can talk about every coverage. But if the players can't handle it, then it doesn't matter. So obviously he's now able to get across more of what he wants to do with the multiplicity of fronts and coverages, and the players can handle it.
Greg Cosell from NFL Films is with us right now. I want to switch over to something that is a topic of interest to a lot of people, and that's these rookie quarterbacks. You've got Justin Fields making his first start this week. We'll get to that. Zach Wilson. So coming out of college, when I watched Zach Wilson, 20's great. We know he can throw the ball. We know he has arm talent. But 19, he was kind of a poor decision maker. A lot of the interceptions were on him, bad decisions. Yep. And then against 20, he played lesser competition and I thought missed some open throws to go for some covered one-on-one deep balls where he had advantages of talent one-on-one. I'm a little nervous, and it's super early, and I don't want to judge, but I would be a little bit nervous right now about the way he's taking care of the football, because it looks more like the 2019 Zach Wilson. But I also recognize that it's very early in his career.
Yeah. I think there's a couple things to start with. He's a very loose player. There's a lack of discipline to his game in terms of his fundamentals. He's got sloppy footwork. He's got inconsistent footwork. His drops don't always time up with the route concepts. These are coachable things, but he has to obviously execute what he's being coached, and I'm assuming he's being coached on these things. You know, I think that he's one of those guys, I think, that it seems, again, I could be wrong, he doesn't take the easy throws. And I think when you're a young quarterback and the offense presents easy throws, you've got to take them. You know, you can go back to when Tom Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe. One of the reasons that was apparent with Bill Belichick was that Bledsoe, because he was a big-armed guy and wanted to, you know, look for the explosive play, he wouldn't take the throws that were there. And I think when you're a young quarterback, you've just got to take those throws, and you've got to just keep moving the football, and you've got to develop a timing and rhythm to your game. This is not college football. And I think that he needs to really tighten up his mechanics. He's just too loose. He's too undisciplined. There's a reckless nature to the way in which he plays. He did this in college and was successful. And look, some people listening could say, well, that's the way Patrick Mahomes plays. You know, and you can always look at an exception, but Wilson is nowhere near that point. And I think the comparisons that some have made with Wilson to Mahomes and Rodgers, you have to back off of that.
Absolutely, because he tried.
Yeah, he just needs to line up and play the right way to start.
And Rodgers is his favorite quarterback, so he's trying to – you just can't emulate Rodgers. Justin Fields, though, is – I give Justin Fields a pretty good – here's the thing. I don't love pocket passers when they're rookies trying to make their first start. I don't mind dual-threat quarterbacks being a little bit of a surprise.
Aren't you worried about him, though, with this Bears line?
Yeah, no, that's, but I also give them a I give him a better chance of succeeding with this Bears line than Andy Dalton.
Well, you know, Lance, you make an interesting point, because here's the issue, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people over the years, and I've, you know, watching tape for as long as I have, given it a lot of thought. Do quarterbacks that can move, and clearly young quarterbacks that can use their legs effectively, they do so. Because, number one, they're not advanced enough to really be big-time readers of defense. They're not advanced enough to be able to win before the snap of the ball. They drop back. They don't see it the way they should right away. So what do? They use their legs. And you know what? They'll make plays doing that. The question is, what's the balance? When do they get to really learn how to be a pocket player, how to manage the pocket, how to navigate the pocket, you know, how to win before the snap, all those things that the great quarterbacks can do. And when you draft a quarterback in the first round in the top 12, I think Fields was 11 or so, right around there, you expect him to be great. And when I say great, I don't mean you're getting ready to put the Hall of Fame jacket on him, but you expect him to be a big-time NFL quarterback. And I like Justin Fields, by the way. I liked his tape coming out. But how do those guys learn how to master the details, the nuances, the disciplines of the quarterback position from the pocket, both pre-snap and post-snap, if essentially it's okay if you say to them, hey, if you don't see it, just run.
Yeah. Well, you got Greg Cosell with us, senior producer for NFL Films and NFL analyst. You did something for the 30-13 on Kyler Murray.
This is
something. Kyler Murray's a guy we haven't seen. We haven't seen anything like this since maybe Eddie LeBaron, Greg.
You know what? He was even a little, I mean, I know the name, but he was even a little before my time.
I thought you'd appreciate that, though. You'd recognize that name. So watching him, breaking him down, what'd you see in Kyler?
Well, you know what? I watched his tape from 2018 and 2019 really closely, and I didn't think he was very good. He might have been great for fantasy people because of the red zone design run game. But this year, I think he's starting to show some improvement in making pocket throws. You can't live on spectacular off-schedule plays. That can't be the world in which you play every single week. That's just too hard. So we know he's going to make those plays, but I think he has to work to where he makes the necessary plays from the pocket. You can't miss layups in this league in order to be a great quarterback. You've got to make the layups. You can't live just on the special. So I think he's improving. He's made some throws through the first 2 weeks that I thought really showed some improvement. He moved within the pocket on a couple of those, which I think he needs to do, maintaining his downfield focus. So we'll see how he continues. I know people talk about him as if he's great because he's a highlight player, and that's wonderful, and he'll make those plays. But you don't become consistent, and I don't like to use the word great, but you don't become consistent unless you can play from the pocket.
Yeah, completely agree, and that's something that the Texans' next opponent, who's up this week? It's Buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we come back, I want to talk about a couple of the next two opponents, Buffalo and what you're seeing from them, and also Mac Jones in New England, because they're going to be coming up before you know it.
Yeah, so we got that, but we got Greg Cosell for another segment right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, we got Doc Linville, and I got the deal done. I got the neo-grafting done, and I got to tell you, it's awesome, awesome, awesome. If you're somebody that is
follically challenged. Are you ever going to cut your hair?
No, I'm going to go Lance McCullers. I'm going. That's
is
what
that
I'm
where
doing.
You're headed right
that's
now?
That's where I'm headed.
That's where you're
McCullers.
Headed.
That's
right.
You're damn right I am. As you see Lance's long flowing hair last night, I said, that's me in just a couple of years or centuries. In a couple of decades, I can get that. I can get that too. So if you're looking for a great way to have long flowing hair, beautiful long flowing hair, all you got to do is see my man, Doc Linville. Go to 975hair.com. The process is so simple. It's wonderful. You'll love the staff. You'll love everything about it. You'll love how easy it is. You'll love the most important thing is the results. And the results are awesome. And he's getting result after result after result. You're looking for a great way to get that hair back. You can't stand being bald anymore. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. Talk to my guy, Doc Linville. Tell him you heard it right here. 975hair.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
NFL with NFL Film Zone Greg Cosell on the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, here with us on ESPN 97.5. Two segments every Friday to get us into the weekend. But we just had last night's game as well. Greg, Brandon Cooks, he had himself another nice night. You know, there are very few plus players on the Houston Texans, guys that would start on other teams, guys that are, you know, that are upper echelon. Brandon Cooks is a wide receiver that's, you know, upper half of NFL wide receivers, and there are very few guys on the Texans like that. And he's been shining. He really has, with Davis Mills or with Tyrod Taylor. And that just speaks to the talent of everything going on here, Greg, is that the Texans are, how many plus players do you see on the Houston Texans roster?
How many, what kind of players?
Plus players. Like in
Well, first of all, on Cooks, is he the most overlooked quality wide receiver in this league?
I mean,
the guy unfortunately seems to get traded all the time, and I can't speak to why that occurs, but the guy gets 1,000 yards receiving every single year. And no one talks about him as if he's a good receiver, so which is really fascinating. But, I mean, I think if you look at plus players, you know, that's a hard question. I mean, offensive lines to me are always tough because they have to work together, but you could look at their O-line and say, obviously, Tunsil would be considered a top five left tackle in the league. The rest of that O-line, I mean, I think there's guys that are you know, solid players. I don't study all those guys in detail, but I mean, they did draft in the 2019 draft Howard and Sharping in the first and second round. Lance, you study offensive linemen way more than I do, so I'm not going to speak out of turn here. I don't know what your feeling is about them at this point in their third years.
Well, I think Howard is, we're still determining. I think he's a tackle, but they're playing him at guard. We'll see how he does at guard. I don't think he's a good run blocking guard. And then Sharping is not built for run block. He didn't have power in his lower half, but he's a pretty good pass protector. So they were drafting guys for Deshaun Watson. Right now, the focus needs to be running the football, and I'm not sure that they have those guys.
Well, they haven't done it at
in
all.
Howard and Sharping. That's the problem, is your quarterback's going to be a different quarterback. Speaking of quarterbacks, Mac Jones. You didn't get to Mac Jones yet.
No. We were just talking about the Texans. We came back. I was wondering, because Brandon Cooks is showing up for the Houston Texans.
Oh, man.
And Justin Reed has played pretty well before he got injured, and he was looking good. But this is an organization that is just bereft of talent.
But if this were baseball, Brandon Cooks would be circled as one of the trade deadline guys to keep an eye on. Greg, do you see that happening? The other thought is, if you're going to give Davis Mills an extended look, you want to give him the best chance to succeed, and that's Brandon Cooks. But, you know, Brandon Cooks might be able to – now, in football, it's a little different. Maybe
he's gotten first-rounders for him.
Would you – in the past, yeah, when he was younger, would you even give up a fourth-rounder in the middle 1,000, of the year?
Like Greg said.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing I think you're dealing with. I'm no good with all that trade stuff in terms of what people give up. And at this point in his career, no one's giving up a first or a second-rounder, but he's a quality receiver. He's not going to bring a ton. You guys would know this better than I. Do they have a lot of draft capital now, or the Texans?
No, not a lot, but they will, with the assumption that Deshaun Watson gets moved, so they will have a lot of draft
capital.
Well,
they're going to be in an interesting situation, because let's say, look, Davis Mills is going to play at least 2-3 more weeks, because hamstrings are tough. They don't go away, you know, quickly, and the way in which Tyrod Taylor plays, unless that's totally healed, it'd be tough to put him out there, because so much of his game is built on movement. So let's say that Mills, you know, continues to improve. I'm not suggesting he'll be great. We know he won't be. He doesn't have enough team for him to play great every week. But let's say it's clear that there's a developing quarterback. They did draft him in the third round. They know that Tyrod Taylor is not their future. What then happens? Do you play out the season with Davis Mills to give him that experience?
That's what we've been talking about.
Yeah, we didn't think he'd start until like week 11, Greg, after the break, but he was forced into this role. You know what? Why not? Roll
I think
with
it's a silver lining.
And can Tyrod Taylor be any more unlucky?
I know. You know, he was playing through the first game and a half, too, extremely well. because I saw that tape of both games, and he had played extremely well. But look, the reality is, and this is just the NFL reality, he's not going to be their future at quarterback. And if Davis Mills, look, I just saw the first half last night and have not seen the tape yet, but I didn't feel like Davis Mills was overmatched.
No, I didn't either.
And that's good enough for a longer look. But what you get into, though, is that purgatory where you can't quite figure out Davis Mills because you don't have, you don't know how much you have around him. He's showing some growth, but you're not 100% sure. And that's the problem, is the Texans need enough of a sample size this year to make a decision in the offseason about quarterback.
Right, right.
And, Greg, you know this, and I remember I learned so much from being at NFL Films with that mock draft stuff we did with you and Brian Billick and the entire crew there. Brian Billick made the comment that if you don't think a guy is your quarterback, you just don't draft him in the first round because the clock starts on your job then. If you draft
right.
a guy who you don't
like. Well, the thing about Mills is he was a third rounder. Obviously, they needed a quarterback because the Watson situation, it remains a total unknown. Who knows? But Mills, I think everybody knows what he is as a quarterback. Stylistically, we know what he is. The question becomes, can he improve at what he is to the point where you feel really comfortable putting him out there as your starting quarterback? He's not necessarily he's not a playmaker. He's an executor. And executors need more team. Now, can you be a great executor? Look, at the when all said and done, Tom Brady's an executor, and I know I just said the greatest quarterback of all time, but Tom Brady's not a playmaker the way we think of playmakers. You know, he's not Patrick Mahomes in that sense, or a Josh Allen in that sense. That's not stylistically what a Tom Brady is. That's not what Davis Mills is. He's an executor and a ball distributor. And those kinds of quarterbacks, unless you're going to become, you know, truly great, great like Brady, they need team around them.
Here's something that could possibly happen this season, is that Davis Mills outplays Zach Wilson. And now, but Zach Wilson will get another shot because Zach Wilson was the second pick overall.
Right.
Do you give, if he outplays, clearly outplays Zach Wilson this year, do you give Davis Mills another shot?
Well, that gets to the point about if you don't love the quarterback class, why not?
Yeah.
Why settle for a quarterback you don't love in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, you know, these are unanswerables because we don't know what Mills is going to do. The only point I was trying to make is we and the Texans know what Mills is as a player. There's no mystery to him. It's not as if all of a sudden he's going to become Josh Allen tomorrow. That's not going to happen. So they know what he is.
Right, right. We got Greg Cosell. Now, Mac Jones. We got Josh Allen coming up next week, which is going to be horrible. But after that is Mac Jones, and so far how has he looked, Greg?
You know, they haven't asked him to do very much in terms of the kinds of throws, the difficulty of throws. I think they know what he is right now. He's got some limitations as a passer. It's going to be interesting to see how he develops. Some guys' arm strength improves a little bit as they grow and get stronger. You don't need to have a gun, obviously, to be a really good quarterback in this league. Although I will say that someone like Tom Brady, his arm was always stronger than he was given credit for because his ball just ripped through the wind in Foxborough without a problem. I think that Jones is a quarterback that, in order to be great, and he could well be that guy, he has to master the mental part of the game. He's got to win a high percentage of the time before the ball is snapped because he needs to play with timing and rhythm. And pocket quarterbacks, which he is in order to play with timing and rhythm consistently, he's going to need to win in the pre-snap phase. And from all accounts, he's that guy, that he'll become that guy. But that's what he'll have to be a great player.
You mentioned something that we've been talking about, Tom Brady's arm strength. Is it? It almost looks like it's better now than ever.
He's throwing the ball really well, but see, it's funny you mention that, John. It's a repetitive mechanics. This guy is so mechanically sound. It reminds me of a great story because I was fortunate enough to know Bill Walsh pretty well. And when Bill Walsh was in between, I guess, coaching gigs, it was when Joe Montana just finished his first year in Kansas City. And at that point, Montana was already a Hall of Famer. And he called Bill Walsh after his first year in Kansas City and said, "Coach, can I come see you? Because I didn't feel my mechanics were as strong as they needed to be this year. And I need a refresher." I mean, quarterback is a detailed, nuanced, disciplined craft position. It's not a let's roll the ball out and make a play position. And I think we lose sight of that because of a Mahomes. Mahomes is a unique, special guy. You know, you can't just say, well, let's be Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes leaves the pocket a lot when he doesn't need to. He leaves prematurely and then makes great plays. But you would never teach a quarterback to do that. That's not how the position is taught. He's just uniquely special. The quarterback position is all about discipline and nuance, and it's about, it starts with mechanics.
And Tom Brady has the best.
The best. I mean, and see, for people who say that you have to be a movement guy and a second reaction player to succeed in the league now, then you have to have an answer for Tom Brady. And you can't just say, oh, he's great. That's not an answer.
Right, right, right. That is Greg Cosell. He joins us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, senior producer for NFL Films. Great talking to you, Greg, and we will talk again next week after another a week of NFL football. Thanks again.
Hey, guys, appreciate it. Thank you.
Greg Cosell every week. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And an hour and a half from now, we will talk a little college football with our good friend Del Olale. He'll be joining us here in studio, even after all the stuff I said about him yesterday. I just destroyed him yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. I think I called him stupid a few times, but I think he likes that, though.
I think he does.
Well, yeah. I think he's like, yeah.
You think he's going to come in since his best friend and number one quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa? Injury prone Tua, he was the tank for Tua guy. Do you think he's gonna be sad?
Well,
Tua's not playing.
Look how crappy his teams are: the Dolphins and the Hurricanes.
I feel sad for him.
No, it's already his football season's already over. And
it is.
No, it's actually already over.
It is
7:57 ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about HRP. HRP.net. This is about people too. You know, we talk about the business of. A business, and you, if you're a CFO, if you're the CEO of your company, you got to make the decision of how are we going to go about this payroll thing. And if you're making the decision that you're going to just do it in-house, you're just wasting money, because it is more economically sound to do it with a payroll company that's going to take care of all of that. All of the issues, all of the taxes, all of the HR, everything that you want your company to deal with, that's just not the best way to go about it. The best way to go about it is with that payroll and HR company. Now, they'll also take care of all the taxes that you need. Is your payroll company familiar? Have they answered all your questions about the Affordable Care Act? Because that's still in. Have you been fined? Or are you on the brink? And are you being audited all the time? Listen, go with our company because they're the best. You're looking for the best payroll and HR company. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
To call into the HRP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.